Radio Krishna 101. We spoke about bhakti therapy way back here, and well, that's what I called it. That's what I think bhakti yoga is, the greatest therapy. And I had now the benefits of finding myself in quite a few different positions, and well, professional positions and whatever in my life. I spent decades as a preacher, preaching the religion of Vaishnavas, of Hare Krishna. Well, some of us took it that way, but I really didn't feel comfortable in that role. Now, then a few years later, because it felt that the position I found myself in was more of a kind of recruiting to an organization position, a recruiter, a proselytizer, or whatever you call it. Proselytizer, I don't know. Anyway. But I really just wanted to help people, to give these beautiful gifts of bhakti and the teachings of the Gita and the Bhagavatam and so on to as many people as possible, because I understood this is what it's about, this is what Prabhupada wants here. This is the mission we have. And mission, whoops, then it starts again to sound like missionaries coming to the other country to convert people from their religion to our religion. But no, and Prabhupada said that too. I didn't come here to the West to convert you to Hindus. I just wanted to make everyone happy by helping everyone to get back into their personal, loving, wonderful relationship with God, who we call Krishna, but who you might call Yahweh or Allah or Christ or whatever. It's the same God up there. It would be stupid to think otherwise. Typical small-minded human thinking, right? So yes, the world today is filled with and dominated by and ruled by small-minded people. Maybe big muscles or whatever, or weapons or bank accounts. Portfolios or whatever, houses, rockets, but small minds, because they only think about themselves and maybe their families. I mean, there are plenty of such people in rulership positions in the world today. I'm not some kind of conspiracy theorist here. Well, I mean, there are plenty of conspiracies in the world, so. And there always were, so. What kind of word is that? But so, yeah, you know, and then a few years later, I found myself working as a hypnotherapist. I had my own practice downtown Stockholm and worked a couple of years with a considerable amount of clients. But then what happened was that I saw, and I spoke to my teacher, hypnotherapy teacher, had given me the diploma, certificate and all that. Who agreed with me that it all really goes down to when you have the vision to see it, to existential issues. People may come because they want to get some suggestions to keep them from smoking. That was a common one. I want to stop, help me to stop smoking. But then once you get into that, it's not, you can say, and you often said, we often say, suggestions that as soon as you think about a cigarette next time, then you would instead think of something else, something nicer that you can do instead. That's one suggestion that you give. And when you do that under hypnosis, because it makes sense and it's in line with your desire, right? Then it even worked on my sister, I remember. So, but it doesn't last, that's the thing. It's a kind of a short-term thing. So we combine it with, well, it was called hypnotherapy. Where you look at that cigarette or whatever it is that you're addicted to, why do you take that thing? And then maybe some thought comes up, or maybe some memory comes up, how I started with that and then why I started with that. It's kind of just giving it time for the to go deeper and deeper into the mind and memory lane, and then eventually the subconscious, where there might be quite unexpected reasons to why you do a certain thing and or are afraid of another thing. Phobias, also very common irrational fears. So, and when you do this, when you work as a hypnotherapist, you're also going down there. That's your working place, the subconscious, basically. So you are the, you have to go through it yourself, of course. But at the end of the day, you're pretty also deep in yourself. And I realized it's all coming down to that for me and for everyone else too. The existential platform. The deeper questions, who am I, what is this world, what do I want, why am I here for, what's the purpose of my life, how shall I continue the years I have left here in the best way, the way that I feel satisfied with, happy, and not just because I have fun all the time, but because it's meaningful, and you eventually and I start looking at not only yourself, but, well, I'm here, I like to be with my friends, my family, and we're happy together, right? And then we have a country of people, wider. Group there. Nice people actually, and well, that one is greedy and bastard, but well, I'm not much better myself. So anyway, let's just help each other and share. And that's what I do now. but you know, and that's pretty much the way the way this leads. And that path, when you just go deeper and deeper into yourself, into the soul of your soul, see the, and then you start seeing some beautiful things in there. and out here too, because the outside reflects the inside. And so anyway, that's how my therapy session started to more and more go. Existential therapy, I even think I wanted to specialize myself in what I called so. And here I am now, more returning to the environment of the Krishna consciousness movement and so on. But not as a preacher, telling you what is the absolute truth and what you should do and what is right for you and what is wrong and who is good and who is bad. You know, a therapist is not supposed to tell the client what's the problem with them, but just to help the client to find out themselves and to as quickly as possible, well, when it makes sense, not need a therapist anymore, not become dependent on therapy, that's another drug. But, and I saw it worked, and it works on me, that it becomes a lifestyle. So I started developing more kind of a therapy where, yes, you have some sessions there, especially if you have very heavy acute problems. But also in general, that becoming a friend with yourself deep down there, cleaning up the darkness, shining it up, and by really looking at it from this existential point of view, which then Bhakti Yoga and these teachings do. So, I mean, therapy is a modern word, but I could say even that what this was, this Bhakti Yoga and yoga in general and all of that, we find it in all different cultures, some kind of path to wisdom or healing or whatever, different words. What it is about, and which really I would say older, original and real civilizations, cultures are about. The health of the citizens in the country or the group. To just help each other to live happily and successfully and honestly, fairly. And I mean, if you now scoff at me when I say this, oh, you dreamer there. Well, I'm not the only one. Another way of thinking is now emerging in the world, even up in the leadership here and there, little by little. And what we can do is to just pinch in our little contribution on this upward going spiral. And I would say this bhakti is, it's like the central pillar of that spiral. It's actually, and nothing exclusive and up there, but the most natural thing. And the absolute truth should be the most natural thing, right? So anyway, so that's where we are now.